The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me the proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, and a happy Labor Day to everybody here. This is a magnificent passage of Scripture with a terrific message for all of us. Unfortunately, to properly understand it requires a lot of history and a lot of exposition. This would be better suited to a half-hour lecture, which I can't give you here this morning, okay? But let me instead just do two things for you here. Let me give you a sweeping general understanding of the history that makes this passage make sense, and then a little thought for you to hopefully to go home and pray about, okay? So first, the sweeping general history, okay? The Israelite people's very identity was freedom from slavery. They'd been set free from slavery in Egypt, and they were going to be free and free forever. But something ended up happening on the road to their freedom, and that was terrible debt. Jewish people found that when they got into terrible debt, it was basically the same thing as being a slave. They ended up working in indentured servitude for people, or they were even thrown into prison until they could repay the debt. So the prophet Isaiah came up with an idea, and he wrote about it in chapter 61 of his letter, and that was that there would be a year called a Jubilee year in which people would be set free from all their debts. And all the captives would be set free from the prisons. And so they practiced the Jubilee year, and it was a way of the people always remaining free. Well, what they did next was they took that idea and they made it spiritual. Because you know, or you might remember, that the Jewish people lost the promised land and became captives in Babylon in the days of the Babylonians conquering Jerusalem. And guess how many years they were captives before they were set free? 50 years, okay? So after that, they took that idea and they began to make it political, because everybody was expecting another Jubilee year, another time they were all going to be set free. And guess who they wanted to be set free from this time? They wanted to be set free from the power of the Roman Empire. And people were waiting for somebody promised Messiah to come along and deliver on the promise of the prophet Isaiah. So Jesus gets up to speak here in the scriptures. And you know what the scriptures say? He found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'll proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." He found it. Jesus deliberately reads from Isaiah chapter 61, the very subject that was in question. And that's why the eyes of all people were upon him. What's he going to say about the hot topic of the day? Unfortunately, our Lord takes all their expectations and turns them completely on their head. Upsets everybody. Because there were two times in the history of Israel in which the people were so sinful that God took his blessings not to his chosen people, but to the Gentiles. Those were the days of the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. In the days of the prophet Elijah, he went to the widow of Zarephath near Sidon. In the days of the prophet Elisha, God took his healing powers to Naaman the Syrian. And this is Jesus' way of saying that you people are just as bad as the worst generations that have ever lived. And God's now going to take his healing promises, not to you, but to all the peoples of the world, to the Gentiles. That's what made them so upset. Took all their expectations and turned them on their head. Okay, and here's your little thought that maybe we can go home and pray about. We get just as upset at God when God disappoints our expectations. However, if you've got a modicum of faith, you'll realize God never disappoints your expectations. He always fulfills them beyond your wildest imaginings, but not in the way that you expected and not in the time that you expected. So, for example, Jesus did bring glad tidings to the poor and liberty to captives and sight to the blind and let the oppressed go free. He did that, right? As soon as he's finished with this, the next thing he does is he performs an exorcism, heals the sick, and gives sight to the blind. But in a deeper sense, he set us free from the poverty of living in sin. He gave us the sight to learn to see and to understand as God sees and understand. And he set us free from the captivity and the slavery of living for this world alone and for our senses alone. Not less, but more. And sometimes, you know, you pray to God for very, very good things. Maybe you want to heal a broken relationship. Maybe you want somebody's health to turn for the better. Maybe you pray for somebody who's lost their way to be converted and find their way back to God. Great intentions, all of them. But you don't see anything happening. When that does happen, please don't turn on God the way these people of Nazareth turned on Jesus. Have a modicum of faith. Give the Lord the benefit of the doubt. Even when things don't work out the way they seem, his fulfillment of what he promises is always greater and never lesser than what we anticipate. God never disappoints those who place their hope in him. A little something to remember when God seems absent. Let's pray for the faith to believe that, that God is greater, infinitely greater than our wildest expectations. Amen.